זה כינור דוד, and זה רבי גלפרין. רבי, are you with us?
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, and how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Wonderful.
So, Parshat Re'eh.
So we have in this week's Torah portion, which Re'eh, anyone speaks Hebrew knows, means to see.
Yeah.
And Re'eh, what does that mean? It says, see, says Moses to the people of Israel. And he says, I place before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing that will come when they fulfill God's commandments, and the curse if they abandon them. It talks about also the concept of a temple should be established, the place that God will choose to make dwell his name there. A tenth of all the produce is to be eaten in Jerusalem, or exchange given for money, which is the concept of tithing, maaser. The concept that it talks about further, the myth of charity, obligates every individual person to give charity. And then our parsha concludes with the laws of the three pilgrimage festivals, Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And that's how we end off this week's Torah portion. Now, very interesting, because you go and look at the word re'eh, which means to see, and it's really an interesting concept to note that there, in this week's Torah portion, in re'eh, there is a section that is dedicated to birds. And it's a list, and it lists the names of the birds which are not kosher, and which are kosher, and which are not kosher for our consumption. And we don't have, you know, through because of various exiles and so on and so forth, the exact identities of these birds is somewhat doubtful, and is a subject of very big discussion between rabbis. However, there are popularly accepted English translations for some of the birds of the biblical name. And the birds would be you know, hard to discuss in exactly which ones they are, and in what we're allowed to consume, what we're not allowed to consume. But there's specific two ones that hopefully we can talk about, which are spoken about in the Torah. And it says that if you distance yourself from these specific ones, it will bring you much happiness. And one of the birds, it is called a ra'ah. And Rashi, who's the main commentary, tells us that this particular bird has the uniqueness that ro'eh beyoter, which means that it sees with its eyes exceedingly well. And thus the word ra'ah connotes eyesight, and is forbidden, and this bird...
It's a prayer bird, I think.
I'm sorry?
I think it's a prayer bird.
Could be.
Yeah.
There's so many different translations of the birds that you have today.
And maybe that's why you can't eat it, because it hunts other...
Well, that's one of the reasons, but that's true too, but we'll talk about maybe a little bit deeper one.
Okay.
And this is a forbidden bird acquired its name, thanks to obviously the exceptional eyesight, ro'eh. That it sees very well. Now we know that the laws of kosher and non-kosher are part of the chukim, the biblical statutes, and we do not have a rationale for them. Why this bird more than another? We don't know. Why this? Why that? There's no reason. This is just what God desires, the laws of the Torah. And we observe these laws not for hygienic or health reasons, but rather because the Torah dictated us to do so. And as such is its divine will. Nevertheless, over the years, we've been able to come up and have rabbis, so on and so forth, insight into this. And the Ramban, Nachmanides, says that whereas the first discussion of the forbidden fowl, observed that the forbidden fowl are predatory, like you just said. That's why. Since we know that man is what you eat, So the Torah forbade certain fowl and animals that possess bad character traits, because by eating them, they may have a bad influence on our character.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to eat something that's going to hunt something else and someone else. So the question is, if so, what is wrong with consuming a bird that sees exceedingly well? Ro'er biyoter. On the contrary, I should be encouraged to eat such a bird. You know, people nowadays spend billions of dollars on their vision impairments. And in school, we're taught that we got to eat carrots because they're very good vitamins that can have a good effect on our vision. So why not eat these words that may lessen our dependency, you know, on the optometrist and so on and so forth, because if we say that we are what we eat, then we'll have that, right? It's not a big deal. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
So it bothered me for a while. It's like, okay, well, what's the big deal? There must be some reason that the Torah is trying to tell you. So I was looking in the Gemara in Chulin, where it says a few additional words that Rashi, who we just quoted, does not say. And there's the Gemara that tells us that this bird is such a powerful vision, as we said, that it stands in Babylon, which is in a valley, and he sees a carcass in the land of Israel. In other words, this bird indeed has exceptional vision, but it is unclean because it uses its powerful vision only to view negativity and to find deficiencies. And that's what the Gemara says there. And this is a character trait that the Torah doesn't want the Jewish people to acquire. A person should not use his vision to detect faults and shortcomings. Instead, he should try to see only the good things about others. You know, there's a story told of a critical housewife who always faulted the work of her maid that the house was not clean and dusted properly. So one time, the maid, who couldn't take it anymore, blushed in astonishment and because everything looked spectacular, it looked immaculate. So finally she turned to the housewife and she said, "Madam, I think the dust you see is in your glass." So the woman removed her glass, and sure enough, the lenses were covered with dust. And so we see that many times we're able to, there's one, the second bird, it's called the Chasida.
Yeah.
And it's properly translated as a stork.
Yeah.
Never seen it, but that's what they say.
Yeah, they say it stands on one leg.
Uh-huh. So Rashi says that this bird is helpful to its friends and shares food with them. So there was a very great rabbi, the Ger Rebbe, and he asked, he said, if the bird is so kind and sympathetic, then it should not really be in the forbidden fowl. It should be kosher. It's helping. It's doing things.
Can we eat it?
Right. And the Ger Rebbe said the moral for this is that the chasida is helpful to its friend, but it is indifferent to the plight of birds of any of another feather. In other words, kindness towards one's own is not enough. If we differentiate between a friend in need and a stranger in like the circumstances, then between our kind and another, we're not kind. Goodness must be indiscriminate. Whoever needs help is deserving. And that bird doesn't do that. So if we go and look in the importance of how we view people, what we think of people, who we're going to help. I might have a great eyesight. What am I seeing in the other individual person? Am I seeing just the flaws? Am I seeing just the bad things of the other person? Am I helping just myself and my immediate friends? What about other people? Because of that, those fowl, those birds are non-kosher. So why do I want to associate with those character traits? Excuse me. Why would I want to associate those character traits with myself? And if you go and look, the Hebrew word for bird is tzipor, which has a numerical value of 376. which we all know the numerical value means Aleph means 1, Bet 2, yep. So on and so forth. So each letter has a value, has a number. So Tipor is the numerical value of 376. Tzadik, Pei, Vav, Resh. And this is also the numerical value of Shalom, peace.
Yeah.
So the two birds thus add up to 752, which in the numerical value is Zahav, is gold. So we have to try and make sure that the home, the environment, the place that we build should be a golden life of materially and spiritually, and looking at other people with a nice eye, helping other people regardless of if they're effective, if they're part of me, if they're my family or they're in my inner circle of friends. That doesn't make a difference. My job is to look at people favorably, to help people favorably. And if I do that, those two character traits of those two birds, that equals 752. I'll have a golden life. Life would be amazing. Life would be perfect. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very important lesson that we can learn from this week's Torah portion, because there are many times in life that people think, who am I helping? I'll just help the people that are close to me. Who should I see? What should I be part of? I'm going to judge another person. Well, that then becomes a problem, because we're associating ourselves with those two birds, which are non-kosher, which we're not supposed to associate ourselves with. So that's something short on this week's Torah portion.
And Rabbi, what about services?
Services, we have Friday evening, 7 o'clock, Shabbat morning, 9:30, Sunday morning, 8:30, Monday and Thursday at 7:15. And on Shabbat, we start the, we have the new month of Elul, where on Sunday we're going to blow the shofar, which basically means that it's a month till Rosh Hashanah. So we have to start getting our cars in order, making sure that when we come Rosh Hashanah, we have everything act accordingly.
Yeah.
God willing, hopefully, and ask God that He should give us everything that we need in life, health, happiness, and so on and so forth.
And next week, school starts.
Next week, school starts, and we actually have a big welcome back barbecue for all the students on Wednesday night.
Very good.
5 o'clock at Chabad. They can go on Facebook and find the Chabad group if they have not. If they're first years, it's always a beautiful event. We've got a lot of students coming out. And yeah, we're ready for a full year ahead.
That's great. And as you know, there is a new student from Windsor that is coming this year, my daughter Gidi.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
We're looking forward. Hopefully we'll see her.
I hope to.
She'll be exciting.
That's great.
So at least she's not going too far from you.
No, she's close to me. I'm lucky.
Very nice. Good. Beautiful.
But you know, it's not the distance. It's...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Today, cars, technology, you don't feel like you're too far anyway.
That's it. I want to wish you a great weekend and
you
Shabbat
too,
Shalom.
You too, Shabbat Shalom, and look forward to talking next week.
God willing.
Okay, be well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.